141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, with plenty of midweek drama across Scottish football. Dundee v Rangers is scheduled for next Wednesday, but this time alternative venues will be used as backup. Stuart Kettlewell doesn't feel Motherwell are at a top six sporting disadvantage, but understands Hibs' frustrations, and Hearts have appealed to fans to buy cup semi-final tickets or risk not getting equal allocations again. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight we have Michael Fish and Sean Batty. Take it away, Sean.
Yeah, well, we thought we had drama after last Sunday's encounter, but I don't think anybody could have foreseen what would go on this week. So what have we got? The Aberdeen VAR decision, the game being called off, when will it be replayed? And we're all looking forward to this being the last fixture before the split, and then finding out the fixtures. Of course, we're going to have to wait a wee bit of time for that.
Speaking of which, you've been absolutely done in. I've just looked at my Twitter, the official Clyde One Super Scoreboard account. It can't be me. I'm in here. Somebody's done the old face merger with you and Sean Batty. Look at that. There's you pointing at the weather map. I don't know who
that's probably
that,
the best I've looked in about 20 years.
But anyway, it's been one of those weeks, just when you think you've seen it all in Scottish football.
Is that one of them in there?
One of the producers, production staff, I would imagine so, yes.
I'll be having a word at the... Anyway. A half-time break. Do we have a half-time break?
You got any thoughts on
well, sorry,
life?
Sorry, I'm too busy.
We are live.
I just think it's one of those weeks that... You know, everything's came against VAR. You get Hibs that are not happy as well with the fact that Dundee's game was called off. Rangers are not happy, rightly so. I think Dundee manager and players wouldn't be happy as well with the situation. We're getting into a situation on Saturday that we still could be in a scenario that we don't know who the top six is. And Mark touched on Livingston and Aberdeen. We're in a bit of a shambles this week, and we've got plenty to talk about.
Yeah, look, the Aberdeen Livy story would have been the biggest story of the week had it not been sandwiched in between a Rangers Celtic game that threw up so many incidents, and a game being postponed because of the pitch and what that means for the rest of the league. It's been kind of brushed under the carpet. It was a real howler for VAR and Hawkeye and everybody involved in that one. Aberdeen were right to put out a strong statement on that. But where does this weekend go? The football, obviously, will all go ahead this weekend because Dundee are away from home. But that leads us into a week of uncertainty again, and it's fairly unsettling for every team in the division because preparations have to be put in place for those final games. So, yep, interesting time ahead.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking? I know it sort of feels like we're going round in circles on this, but actually with a new day, this story has moved on. So give us your reaction to the latest updates. The SPFL have issued an update recently, something that Philippe Clement said earlier on this afternoon. They confirmed that Wednesday, April the 17th, at Dens Park, live on Sky Sports. That is the aim. We sort of knew that last night. But they say they've been in extensive discussions with both clubs about arrangements. If for whatever reason the match can't be played on Wednesday, these include the possibility of the match moving to an alternative venue. We will confirm these arrangements as soon as possible and well in advance of Wednesday's match. So, Philippe Clement said earlier that he expects a decision to be made by the Tuesday lunchtime, basically. So we're nowhere near what happened this week. The SPFL not going quite that far as to confirm that, but it looks like they'll need to make a much earlier call this time, Gordon, with a proper plan B and C and D in place.
Let's be honest, they'll have to have a plan B. It'd be a farce. It is a farce now, but it'd be worse if we go next Wednesday and it'd be the same scenario, because we never know the weather, as Eric Trisdale says, on a climate change.
You're back in that, are you? You're a big climate change
Listen, I've
researcher.
I just shake my head when Eric comes on and speaks, to be quite honest with you. I can totally understand that there've got to be plans put in place. What I do like, I've got to say, I like the Rangers manager's attitude to, you know, he's come out and saying, I'm ready to play them today. I'm ready to play them behind closed doors. I'm ready to go to Mars. I don't know what the accommodation would be like up there, but I like that strategy. He's not sitting there moaning about everything. He's talking about, I'll play anywhere. It's all about the 3 points. I like that. I really
well,
do.
Well, what
I
think, are our alternatives? Go anywhere. But let's be honest, playing them anywhere is better than playing at Dens Park, because Dens Park pitch is a shambles. You could pick any other pitch in Scotland in the professional leagues. It's probably better than that. It's so no even, wonder come on saying.
Well, it's not even
anyway.
About that, though. It's just about getting on.
Of course. Well,
if it can go on at Dens, it goes on at Dens.
Of course. But I think if you gave any manager a choice, and I include Stuart Keltwell last week, would you rather play this on an AstroTurf pitch at Airdrie or whatever, or take your chances on this Dens Park pitch? Choose the AstroTurf all day long.
Even
and
if
that's
it, even if it
tested.
Meant closed doors? I mean, Philippe Clement said yes, but do you think everybody would agree with that?
Well, of course, you've got a duty to put it on where fans can view it. So that's obviously the priority. But if it has to be closed doors, well, is it really going to affect Rangers that much? They've got a much better squad than Dundee, much better players.
No, so. I didn't even necessarily mean sporting advantage, disadvantage. I think priority would obviously be
I'm slightly going to go against Mark on Saturday at Dens. I watched the highlights. As much as the pitch looked terrible, and I agree with that, with the sand and everything, it actually played okay.
Played all right,
but
yeah.
Right, but the problem, and right. You're quite right to bring up, the problem is we've had more rain, right? Yeah. And it's certainly going to be a lot, lot worse. But a week's a long time. They have to get something sorted. If they can, if it's any chance at all, then I don't believe behind closed door. I don't think that's fair.
But it might have to be.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I don't like AstroTurf pitches. I think that if the two clubs could come together, and I know it's a big if, and I'll get shot down here, there's a playing surface across the road that could maybe benefit Dundee United financially and put all their other sort of stuff we're against Dundee to the side and think, right, okay, financially we can make some money out of this. We touched on it on Tuesday night. But there have to be a plan B of
why,
that.
Why would it be closed door, though, Gordon? Why would whatever they hold it not be open to fans?
I mean, guessing would be, if you're not announcing it until Tuesday, that it's going to be played somewhere on the Wednesday, to
very
then
difficult to
ticket at Stafford Place. Okay. I'm not really sure logistically how that would work. Could be wrong. Let's go to Mitch, who's on the line. How are you, Mitch?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's your point tonight?
Hey, well, obviously the D part's an absolute disgrace. There's no point in saying it isn't. But I wonder how the game with Rangers and them couldn't be played last Wednesday, and then all fans would have known. And if you want to go up to the D, it'd been okay. Is there any reason why it couldn't be played last Wednesday?
I mean, I guess the official line, Mark, is for any fixture, both clubs agreed that the date would be this midweek. I think, was it last Thursday? Were we on here last Thursday and we said, good job the game wasn't last night, because I think it was chucking it down.
Torrential rain. So I've seen all these comments. I think the game would have been off last Wednesday as well, because you're right, we were on here saying that.
I couldn't remember which night it was.
Ahead to the Saturday fixture, saying, is that going to be on because of the rain had fell? So I don't think it would have made any difference at all, but both clubs agreed for that Wednesday, and that was it.
Yeah. That Wednesday, both clubs are arguing with each other over it. No, I mean, you're not doing this right. You're not doing that. Your part's not good enough. You can't get up there. And the fans are quite right to be doing that. It's them that's getting the brunt of it. And so what do they go, we'll agree with this, we'll not agree with that. But they're not taking the fans into consideration, I don't think.
Yeah.
As far as I've seen there in one of the things, is a Rangers supporter took his son up there, which is a long journey, and the game's called off. He went up early in the afternoon so he can get to see the game, and it's called off. And that's no fair to the fans.
Yeah, Gordon, I, like Mark, seen a lot of that. Maybe it should have been played last week. Look at the state that it was in on Saturday. You know, they barely got the game on Saturday. That would tell me that even if it had been scheduled for the Wednesday, it wouldn't have gone ahead. The sort of official part of it is that the clubs agreed for whatever reason. And look, I know the way Scottish football works, sort of suspicion, accusation. If that was the case, during this war of words, this is a great opportunity then. If Dundee want to come out here and say, yeah, we wanted to play this last week and Rangers didn't, that would be a great time to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that was the case. Where Mitch is bang on the money, Gordon, is the people that you feel for as the supporters. They're making plans. They're maybe taking days off work. They're travelling. financially, to go and watch football now is a bit of money. And it takes a great commitment from supporters, and they're taking their kids up there and everything that goes with it. And I feel for the supporters. I think they've been shortchanged in this, definitely. And you even look at the, you know, the case with Rangers. Rangers have now been in St Andrews twice, overnight stay. Now, I don't know many travel.
St Andrews Hotel will be rubbing their hands though,
yeah,
wouldn't
but
it was two different hotels.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Find. Yeah.
It was the one fancy one last week and then the other fancy one. Yeah.
but poor Rangers
when
players.
You take into consideration, I know I'm not saying poor Rangers players, but there's a cost to that as well. You look at the amount of staff that Rangers will probably have in those hotels. You look at the food and everything that goes with it. So as much as people will not be feeling sorry for Rangers, it's still a lot of money to prepare for a game that you know in your heart of your hearts. I think everybody, apart from Jim Duffy and Tuesday, Jim was more enthusiastic about the game going on and being an ex-Dundee legend up there. He was hoping the game would go on, but everybody really thought, one sure here, this game's no chance.
Mitch, what do you think about the idea that this time there's going to be backup venues looked at if it can't go ahead on Wednesday?
Well, I'd be 100% what Gordon said. It's the fans come first all time, because it doesn't matter behind closed doors. I know it's not behind closed doors, maybe I'm not a good thinker, but at least they'll know the game is on, they can make arrangements to hear it or whatever else. The only thing I was going to say, Jim Duffy was up there on Tuesday. Was the pitch playable on Tuesday? No, we don't know that either.
No, Jim wasn't there on Tuesday. No. This pitch hasn't been playable for a long time, really. In terms of, it certainly it wasn't playable on Tuesday
standard, yeah.
Because Saturday was touch and go. Motherwell still maintained, Andy was in on Monday, they won and it was a great day. Andy still doesn't think that game should have gone ahead.
Listen,
it's
getting,
then been churned up on Saturday, so there's not, it's not like that could have magically been brought, bringing the game forward, and this week would have made it even
and the
more
weather,
difficult.
The weather proved that, and you look at the forecast, and I know we're not weathermen, of course we're not, but you look at the forecast and you're thinking, a bit of rain going down. I was getting texts from the chief executive, Motherwell, Brian Caldwell, quite rightly saying, this game should not be allowed to go on. Mm-hmm. Listen, it worked out great for Motherwell, let's be honest about it, but they got the game played. And on top of that, you're expecting more rain, and you're right, Gordon. I didn't think that pitch ever had a chance of going on last night.
Just let me write it down, because that's now nine times you've mentioned that you're on texting terms with the Motherwell chief executive, Brian Caldwell, since
good
the weekend.
Good pals, are you?
Have you noticed how much he's thrown that
he
in?
He loves it.
Honestly.
Me and Brian are like that. Well, Brian.
That's the connections we need in the show.
I worked with Brian. Brian was my man at Air United.
Mitchell Library.
Air United, Brian.
But honestly, you've mentioned it about...
Love Brian.
Countless
great
times
lad.
Since
he'll
the weekend.
He'll be terrific for Motherwell.
Who else are you texting?
A lot of people, obviously.
Anyone else of use to us, though?
I'll get back to you that. There,
any
maybe.
Weathermen on that text?
Bye. Be bye. Bye.
John is on the line in Wishaw. How's it going, John?
Hi.
You all right?
Hi, fine.
What are you thinking tonight?
Well, just listening to Simon Jordan this morning, and if his information's right, Rangers were asked to play the game that last week. So why didn't they say, yes, we'll play it? Plus, why don't folk look at weather forecasts? Look at tonight. The game could have been played on Thursday night. Rangers could have played in the Europa League tonight and still played on Sunday. So I don't see why they could have looked at the weather forecast and sorted it or played last week.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to the previous caller, John, for the fixture to be arranged for last night, both clubs had to agree to that. You know, I don't, and if Dundee feel differently about that, if Dundee feel they were forced to play this week and it could have gone ahead last night,
Dundee's got a big game against Aberdeen on Saturday.
To correct me,
they're not going to be playing Thursday night. You know, different. If you're talking about Rangers,
two separate points though. The first one about why wasn't this played last week? I think the boring answer is, both clubs agreed to play it last night.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, maybe it's just us, maybe this is anecdotal. I do remember last Thursday, us three saying, good job they didn't schedule that game for last night, because it would have been off. But that could just be us talking nonsense, because we often do.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, you kind of clear it up better than that. When it comes to arranging these fixtures, it seems easy from the outside. And in hindsight, of course, people jumped to conclusions because the Celtic game was coming up. Oh, Rangers didn't want it. Well, what if Dundee didn't want it? What if Dundee looked at their pitch and thought...
needed the time for the pitch to get fixed for the Motherwell
game. So they had
game.
About 3.5 weeks, I think, without any game on it until the Motherwell game, and it just passed. It just got there for the Motherwell game. So maybe they needed that extra time and they were happy, an extra week. And the weather forecast, well, of course everybody checks the weather forecast, but it's that unpredictable in this country. You just can't say for certain what's going to be.
But you're right, you touched on it there. Dundee are 1 point away from the top six, which would be financially very good for them. They've already admitted losses this week. There's not a chance Dundee would want to play the game the Thursday night, knowing they're going to Pittodrie in the Saturday.
Because Philippe Clement said they were preparing to play Thursday. They would have played it today, but they don't play till Sunday. And I know strange things can happen, but you don't tend to play Thursday, Saturday. So, John, is that maybe another sort of obvious stumbling block? Dundee, they play Saturday, couldn't really play today then?
No, because Dundee want to play it. And see if they win on Saturday, they're in the top six. And then I think Celtic and Rangers might need to go to Dundee again. So what's going to happen then?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's an element of you need to hope the pitch just continues to get better. You need to hope the weather eventually holds off. John's point about does nobody check the weather forecast? I think that's what was clearly frustrating about yesterday. Pitch inspection at 11, great. Mm. It's just about playable, apparently, at that point. But you then know it's going to rain all day, like...
Yeah,
and then you have to wait until whatever it was, 3:30 for the...
And the worst case scenario
confirmation.
Is...
So see, that is that where the real... So now, we've got a contingency for next week, apparently. According to the SPFL, they've gone on record, and Philippe Clement said that next week it will be moved somewhere else if it needs to be. Why was that not in place for this week?
Well, that is a big question. You would think, seeing the state of the pitch, that could have been put in place easily. And I think we all assume... at Tannadice, because right across the street and we see the state of their pitch, it looks lovely, but that might not be the case. It might be another ground somewhere else, but it would have made a lot more sense. I can only imagine that comes from Dundee, that Dundee want to give this every chance. Remember, a home game for these teams mean a lot, you know. Gate receipts, especially when Rangers come to town and they can fill that stand, that's a lot of income. So it's last port of call to rearrange it for somewhere else. So, you know, as much as everybody's bashing Dundee at the minute because of their pitch, and rightly so, I think they've still got the right to give it every opportunity. And this is the last stand, though.
But I don't think they've got an excuse. I think that everyone after Saturday, or even before the Motherwell game kicked off, realised that, look, if they get this played on Wednesday... this has got to be real trouble. And you're right. So you've got Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to have a plan B. And you've got to go and work in that. You've got TV coverage as well coming there. I don't know what the situation would have been with Sky in that case if they had to move it. But surely we always seem to react after a situation instead of reacting when it was needed, and we didn't do it.
Thanks to John, 01419511025. Philippe Clement had some strong words regarding the situation today. You can hear from him and hopefully more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We're about to hear from John, who's on the line. Let's get some thoughts from Philippe Clement. He had a lot to say on this topic today. This was his general reaction to the postponement last night.
It's for us the second time that the game is postponed. It's 5 games this season to are postponed, so that's 30% of the home games were postponed this season. I don't remember in more than 30 years football all over Europe that happened anywhere. So there's a big problem, I think. If you start to speak to them about climate change or things like that, then you don't realize the problem yet. And that could have been avoided last week by saying, okay, we take a decision earlier, or we play at another venue.
Yeah.
That climate change line has got to people, hasn't it?
It's got to me.
Philippe Clement's noticed it. He also referenced today, he was well aware that there was amateur games on in Dundee last night.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Philippe Clement had a working knowledge of the Tayside
Dundee United training their pitch today.
Amateur league. Did you see that? Is that what we call trolling from Dundee United?
For anyone who's, I like that.
For anyone who's not seen it, because obviously everyone's been making the reference that Tannadice is just down the road, Dundee United tweeted today a picture, four pictures of the team training on the Tannadice pitch and said the perfect climate for fine tuning and a sunshine emoji.
But it sums the club up to come out with something like that. See, instead of coming out and putting your hands up and saying, look, we got promoted last year from the Championship. We've used most of the money, financial situation, to go and buy players to try and keep ourselves in this league. We've neglected the pitch. This has happened. Look, they could have got away with it. The weather couldn't have, maybe it just wasn't as bad this year, and they could have got away with it to the end of the season, but they've not, and it's come back to bite them. You know, you've got to own that. You've got to put your hands up. You can't come out with nonsense about X, Y, and Z, climate change, everything that goes with it, and your neighbours who are a 10-yard chip down the road are training on their pitch. It's laughable. It makes your club laughable.
I mean, I told you, it is more than 10 yards. We need to be accurate.
I've been there from the back end of Tannadice. The back end of Tannadice to the back end of Den.
10 yards.
Yeah, it's a good 10 yards.
Right, okay, John is pretty close to us, in fact, in Clydebank. What's your take on it all, John?
Hello, how you doing?
Good, you?
I am all right. Hey, what happened yesterday? We were glued to the television and the radio for the update at 11 o'clock. It came up at 11 o'clock that every single part of the pitch was playable at 11 o'clock in the morning. So then we decided to then go at 2 o'clock. We go up early so we don't hit the rush hour traffic. And then you go up there and get a wee bit of dinner before the game. So that's what we did. So we left and got to Stirling at 3 o'clock. And then we stayed in Stirling just to hear the next match report, the pitch report. And then the game was called off. So how can it, if at 11 o'clock in the morning it's playable, then they put the covers back on, keep the rain off the pitch, how can it not be playable at 3:30? I mean, somebody said that they only put the cover on the dodgy parts of the park.
I think they recovered the problem areas, basically. This is where we had an anonymous groundsman phone in the other night and tell us the way. You don't hear this?
No.
But I like the title. Yeah. Anonymous groundsman. It should be a feature every week.
I know him.
You know the anonymous.
He's not anonymous. He used to find golf balls.
Anyway, and he told us a little bit about, you know, the way things work. I guess, I don't know if covers are maybe as effective as everybody thinks they are for various reasons. John's right, they recovered parts of it. I get what John's angling at here. I don't think yesterday or the last couple of days, I don't think Dundee, in terms of the way they've tried to fix the pitch, I don't think there's really fingers to be pointed there. I think it's more about the overall picture of should it have got to that stage, should there have been a contingency? Yes, if you want to go back and say why did Dundee allow their pitch to get like this, fine. I think they've done everything they can in the last couple of days, Gordon, but just too late.
Yeah, look, they tried to give it every opportunity, but I agree with John. You've got to, in that situation, take into consideration supporters travelling. Now, even that pitch, I would say at 11 o'clock when we were watching it in Sky and everything coming through, Gordon, you could see there were problems. Now, even if the referee tells me, well, at 11 o'clock, it was touch and go, but it was playable. Does common sense not come into it? And you look and think, well, in the next 5 hours, 6 hours, we're going to get torrential rain. So it's not rocket science. You know what I mean? Make the decision. If it's struggling, but it's just passed the test just now, you've got to, the kickoff was 7 hours later, or eight, what tell I? It was 9 hours later. Yeah, 8 o'clock.
That sounds good
right.
to me.
Yeah, 9 hours, right? 9 hours later with a forecast for rain constant. Surely you take the common sense to consider people are travelling and say, look, it is playable, but in 2 or 3 o'clock, this pitch isn't going to be playable because of the rain.
Well, hopefully that sort of thinking is going to be in place for next week, and hopefully the decision is made the day previously, John. What do you make of that? Potentially a change of venue and so on?
Well, first of all, I take on what Gordon's saying, but my point is, at 11 o'clock, the referee didn't say it was just playable in name there. He said it's playable. If this was 8, if this is 7 o'clock at night, this game is going to go on. Now, if you put a cover over the whole bit, you cover up the whole park, then I know what you're saying, but are you saying that the rain actually passes through the cover? Or if it's raining, does the rain keep it off? Because we made the decision on that referee saying and then believing that he's going to put a cover right over the whole park. If he's going to put it on the bit next to the bad bit, then the water's going to seep under the cover and get to the bad bit. But I think we've got, obviously we've still got tickets and we're going to go back up next Wednesday. You know, and it seems as though, according to the weather, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that it's going to be dry. So hopefully the game will go ahead. But I think the referee should have then, if the cover Disney did the job that I thought it did do, then the referee should have definitely called it off at 11 o'clock because there was no chance if he's only partially covering the ground.
Yeah, well, I think an early decision is what everybody's looking for. This is what Philippe Clement had to say about the game being next week.
The last information I got is that we will know Tuesday, 12 o'clock latest, where we're going to play on Wednesday. Normally in Dundee, if it's not possible, it need to be somewhere else. But that we know before we travel, that we know what's going to happen.
The last thing we need is more miscommunication, Mark, because I was looking at the SPFL statement. They don't specify that the decision will be made Tuesday lunchtime.
Yeah.
Philippe Clement said that's his understanding of it. That sounds like a sensible thing to do, certainly.
It does, but it doesn't seem set in stone if the SPFL aren't
saying that. Unless they've just not included that detail for now.
Well, we're taking Philippe Clement's word there, but what it does do is put the SPFL in a position to come up with something by that time. So if I was the Rangers manager, I would have probably done exactly the same thing. You know, if nobody's forcing the issue, well, I will. So the SPFL have to come up with something clear-cut by then. It's just going to be interesting, this alternative venue, if it does take place elsewhere. Where? And is it closed doors? And, you know, is it AstroTurf or is it simple as just walking across the road to Tannadice? Because it's a pretty unusual situation for the last game going into the split where a lot of things are riding on it, not just the Championship, but, you know, where Dundee sit by that point, how it affects Motherwell and Hibs. Nobody will care about Dundee, but is it fair in Dundee then going to play elsewhere? Everybody say it's their fault, but it's not the player's fault. It's not Tony Docherty's fault. So just a unique situation that I don't think anybody could have envisaged in our league. Even though we have the wackiest league sometimes in the world with problems that no other league have, This one probably wasn't in top of people's minds.
Like I say, the line in the SPFL statement says they'll confirm arrangements as soon as possible and well in advance of Wednesday's match. So by your mind, well in advance of Wednesday's match,
I would say Monday, Tuesday
would be Tuesday, surely.
Yeah. Not any later on Tuesday. I would be baffled if they decide Wednesday morning, here's a...
So where are what if it's dry Monday, Tuesday. However, the weather forecast changes for Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Speaking back to John's point, is it John and Claybank that said about the covers? See, that pitch was playable at 11. I thought it was looking at touch and go, but it was playable. By 3 o'clock, it wasn't playable, right? Now, see those covers? Those covers would have had to come off, half 6, quarter to 7. So by the time Rangers warmed up and Dundee warmed up, by the time the game kicked off at 8 o'clock with the rain, I don't think the game the pitch would have been playable then.
Imagine it calling off just as the teams run out.
I just think that's the biggest shambles that we've had this season with pitches.
Okay, thank you to John. What about Scott and Govan? What's your thoughts tonight, Scott?
Hi, Gordon, Mark and Gordon.
Hello.
I want to know, obviously, if Dundee go and play their game, or win their game on Saturday against Aberdeen, then the game in hand doesn't really matter because they're already in the top six, right? So I'm just wondering, my thoughts are about the semi-final, because then, obviously, the other three, Hearts and Slate, have a full week to prepare for a semi-final, where Rangers need to go to Dundee and take 2 days out a training out of that. I wonder if Rangers possibly can ask the league if they can propose that game to go ahead in the following day so they can prepare for the semi-final.
Yeah, that is the other obvious point in terms of Rangers scheduling. They thought they had a free week in the lead up to the semi-finals, like the other semi-finalists. They now won't.
Not for me. Not for me. I
just
know,
go for it.
I know. Look, you play in the Wednesday now. I know you're better with a free week. Of course you are. I'm not denying that. But you play in the Wednesday. Your game's a Sunday. So you've got all those days to recover. You're still, most of your preparation nowadays is probably how many games are left? 6 games or something, cup games. So your preparation, you're ticking over, you're just tweaking one or two things tactically. So I don't know if it would really affect Rangers unless they got a batch of injuries on the Wednesday night, right? And the complaints would certainly come out then. But in the sense of just going and playing the game, and then playing a semi-final on Sunday, I don't think it'll affect Rangers. And the reason I don't think it'll affect their players, because I said at the top of the show, I like this manager's attitude towards football. He's talking about, I'll play Dundee tomorrow. I don't care where we're playing them, I'm ready to play. So he knows what it takes to go and play games and how to recover and everything. So as much as I think there'll be a lot of Rangers fans in the same boat here thinking, oh, well, it's a bit unfair to us. You go and ask the manager at Rangers, I don't think the manager's even born his backside with that. I think he's ready. I'll take Dundee on Wednesday and then I'll get in the semi-final, no problem, Sunday.
No, I think he said today he would rather have had the 3 week mark. And is that the way it is? Like, obviously you would rather it can be seen as an inconvenience, but it's not the end of the world. Is it somewhere in that sort of range?
I think it's as simple as that. Clemillan, like any manager, would like a full week preparation, give his players perhaps a day off or a bit of downtime or a lighter session. But if the game has to be played, then football's a fluid situation. And particularly in this case it is, and it's changing from week to week. So Rangers will just have to roll with whatever they're served. But I do agree with the irony of then saying we'll play Dundee anytime and Mars in it, and then coming in saying can we have a postponement would sound a bit off. No doubt any manager would like a 3 week grant to the semi-finals, but they'll just have to deal with it.
So Scott, you'd really rather not though. You feel strongly about that. You think that if Dundee can secure the top six place, that game should be moved?
Aye, because there's no harm in it then, are there? Because Dundee are in the top six and it can be played the week after, or the Wednesday after the semi-final.
But Scott, what if they rearrange the game and postpone it? However, the Celtic game's the next one out. Do you say, oh no, we want a 3 week for the Celtic game, so we'll push that back, and then results all of a sudden become nip and tuck like they are just now, and you've got a huge game against Hearts. I tell you what, can we move that Dundee game back again? Where do you stop with that?
No, Mark, my point is what Gordon said there when he was talking, is the fact that you're getting up to Dundee to play before a semi-final and a pitch that's, well, let's be honest, it's disgusting, and it's really no playable, and there can be potential injuries on that, which affects a semi-final.
Yeah, no, but Mark's response then, Scott, is you move it to any of the next couple of midweeks, there's every chance then that when the post-split fixtures comes out, you go and do that same thing a couple of days before you play Celtic in what could be a league decider. There's just no perfect solution, is there?
No, not really, no.
Scott, would you like to game it go on last night, Dundee and Rangers? Yeah.
Yes.
Right, okay. Rangers are in a title challenge. They play Sunday against Ross County. It's the same scenario next week. Ross County is massive for Rangers away because you'd imagine Celtic play first against St Mirren at Celtic Park. I think everybody will fancy Celtic to pick up 3 points. Becomes a massive game for Rangers at Ross County. Probably as big as the falling game against Hearts in the semi-final, because if they want to win the league, they've got to win that game. Same scenario, Wednesday, Sunday. Nobody's complaining.
Since we're on the subject of sporting advantages or disadvantages, any Motherwell or Hibs fans out there, do you care? Does it matter, the implications for the top six? I've seen a few suggesting that they certainly feel that it does. Stuart Kettlewell sympathises with Hibs, doesn't think it changes much from a Motherwell perspective. But what do you think? And we'll get to you after this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, for the last 50 years, Clyde One have brought you some of the best and most memorable gigs, and we're going to do it all over again on Friday the 31st of May. I know many of you have got your tickets, but if not, get the date in the diary. Head to ClydeOne.com. The full lineup's been announced already. Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy and Texas. We would love for you to be there Friday 31st of May, taking over the Ovo Hydro. Get your tickets at ClydeOne.com.
1419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, two space cadets. So let's hear from Philippe Clement, suggesting where else Rangers would be willing to play this game.
That is a disadvantage, of course, but it is what it is. We need to adapt. Like when it was COVID, we didn't like it also. But our mindset is, whatever decisions are made, we go to win games. We want just to play the game. If that's the decision, we will play behind closed doors. If they ask us to play on Mars, we go to Mars, we take the flight to win the 3 points. It's about that. That's our mindset.
Let me ask David, as a Rangers fan, David, how would you feel about it being behind closed doors?
Not at all. See, at the end of the day, if Dundee can't be bothered getting their pitch sorted out and even get help for Celtic to put plastic sheeting down, I don't know where that one came from. And until I found out Gordon was dragging his 4% shares. But no. This game should never be behind closed doors. This game should be fucking void. Oh, sorry, I should have sworn there, sorry. But what would you call it?
My apologies to anyone who's watching on the live stream who heard David's little slip of the tongue. Apologise for the offensive language. Apologise for any offence caused.
What is it about Mark and I that
I know, we seem to been... bring out the worst in people?
Going so well. I was actually listening to
With
him.
With any luck, for those who are listening in radio, you won't be aware of what's going on. That was a wee harmless one. That's just Glasgow in a nutshell.
Vocabulary that
it's punctuation.
People just speak like and they forget to switch it off when they come on radio.
Anyway, what were we
talking about?
He was talking about behind closed doors. He doesn't agree with it.
I don't agree with that either.
He strongly doesn't agree with it.
Why? Okay, your argument is valid about stewarding and policing. Put in a place just now. Now, if it is Tannadice,
10 yards across the road.
10 yards across the road, like Dad says. If it's
150, by the way,
To front door, I'm talking back to back.
If it's somewhere else, then
167. Sorry, just looked it up. Anyway,
if it's somewhere else, then put those plans in place as part of your plan B. Just now.
Yeah.
People on standby, you know, stewarding,
ticketing.
Like
how do you think that works?
He doesn't.
Off the top of my head,
sure,
but, it's a hard one. I don't know.
But surely you can have gates that you don't need tickets to allow people in.
We're not experts on much, but I feel like we're straying into subjects that we really haven't thought about.
But
here.
I agree. I think that behind closed doors is a bit unfair, right?
Unfair on who?
I think unfair to players and everyone concerned. Plus, Rangers would probably, at this stage of the proceedings, because they're going for a title, and so you look at the crowd Celtic took to Livingston. You're not telling me that doesn't inspire players.
Yeah, because I wonder if that was to backfire, if you like. Philippe Clement is admitting, we'd rather not. It's not ideal. Mm. We didn't like it during COVID, he said. But we'd do it if we had to. Imagine that game then doesn't go to plan. And the Rangers fans, I can't believe we agreed to this. I can't believe we agreed to play that game. We could have been there to spur the team on or whatever. Now, I know these things are very tough to measure, but it would be quite a reaction, wouldn't it?
I think that's 100%. I think at this moment in time, you will see Celtic and Rangers going away from home and carrying massive amounts to fans because they know how important every single game is in the next six games. And I think that we all agree, and we've all played it, that fans certainly help you. You rise to the occasion if you know you've got such a large following, and Rangers do have that. So I think that would be very unfair. And I'm talking about Dundee players as well, because as an opposition player, you play against Rangers and Celtic, yes, they have the majority of the crowd, but it's still a great atmosphere to play in, and it inspires you as well, and you want to play in these games. So behind closed doors, I think would be a bit unfair for me.
I have to agree. You know, we go on about the passion of our supporters in this country being up there or better than anywhere else. And we've not got the best product in the world, but our fans certainly fill the stadiums. This guy to the left of me has went on about it all season. So to rob fans, home and away, of a fixture at this crucial time of the season because someone's pitch isn't right, I think is hugely unfair on them. So I think whatever happens, if it is at Dens or an alternate venue, it has to be put in place with the fans at mind.
Connor says, surely they can't move the game to Tannadice due to VAR requirement. Most likely Perth. Surely I have seen a bit of this. I think this is the... And I get it. I'm not expecting the SPFL to throw out random lists of potential venues and explain why this one would work and that one wouldn't. Yes, Dundee United don't need VAR in the Championship this season. I guess some of the infrastructure might still be there from last season because they did have it. We're having to speculate a bit. We're having to get ahead of ourselves. This came up earlier in the week. Has anyone got any idea if Dundee United have got any desire to help out in this situation? There is a rivalry. They are across the road. Then if you're basing it purely on geography, yeah, maybe Perth is the next best option. But I wonder, you know, that because the details are being kept close to the chest, which I understand everybody else is having to speculate a bit.
See, right, okay, I can totally understand, and if there's any Dundee United supporters listening, I'm quite happy to come on, shoot me down. I totally understand that it would be a hard one for people of Dundee United, supporters, board, everyone considered, but it's all about making money for me. And if there's a percentage in it for Dundee United that they can lease out their pitch to Dundee, get some revenue in, they're in the Championship, they're going to probably, at this moment in time, their favourites to come up. They need as much money as they can because they'll have to strengthen their squad.
They did just refuse Raith Rovers full allocation though, didn't they?
But that's the difference, Mark. How many are you talking about?
No.
You know what I mean?
But if it's all about money, they would have taken the full allocation for Raith Rovers. So maybe they've
got a few quid that we don't know about.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying what's happened recently. You know, if I was Dundee United, I agree with you. I would think a full end of Raith Rovers fans, that's extra money in our pocket and brilliant. But
maybe Dundee United fans, don't take the word for it in here. Just out of curiosity, would you tell your rivals to you know what, or would you roll out the red carpet for the right price? I'm just curious. What about Billy in Springburn? What do you think, Billy?
Right, how you doing, lads? I phoned in yesterday. It's quite easily simple. Dundee's lost the right to dictate where the games get played. You get played at Ibrox behind closed doors. All the Rangers fans that paid for the tickets away, open Lansdowne, put them in there and charge Dundee the use of Ibrox. As simple as that. Why should Rangers be out of pocket again and Rangers fans be out of pocket? This poor Dundee, oh, they have to pay here and go here.
Why should Rangers have home advantage?
How should I know?
Why should they? Because it's unfair to Celtic.
Next week, the game's after again.
I know, but listen, reverse it. See if this is a case of Celtic. You would not, you'd go on here shouting, why is it the game put to Celtic Park to give Celtic an advantage in a close title race? So I think what you're saying, you're angry with Dundee, and I totally agree with you. I'm with you 100%. But you cannot flip that and turn around and say, right, okay, tell them they've got to play at Ibrox, give Rangers the advantage of a home game against Dundee and one of the closest title races we've had for a long time. That can't harm.
How could it not harm? The game will be put
because I've just explained to you why not. Because if you flipped it over and I'm saying to you, you put yourself in the situation, if this is Celtic and Dundee are made to forfeit the game and go to Celtic Park, you'd be on this phone and going off your head. Let's be honest about it.
I suppose, Mark, that's before we get to Rangers would be, if Dundee make the top six, they would be in line for another trip to Ibrox anyway.
Yeah.
Can you swap them over? I mean, we're now really spec. Do you know what I mean? Would you play the Ibrox game sooner?
Yeah, and then
the Dens one later. Part later.
But what I don't like then is, you just mentioned it earlier, Carr's been kept close to their chest about alternative arrangements. Why? Why not just release? Here is plan B. So everybody's in the frame of mind. Yeah. Well, there we go. We know where it is. And we know everything's been prepped. And we know it's going to be at Tannadice. We know it's going to be at McDermott Park. Fine. So the game's going ahead. But this, oh, well, we don't know. Just tell us.
Just tell us, says Mark Wilson. Yeah. Thank you to Billy on the line. It takes us up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
If, like me, your head is spinning with talk of pitches and flooding and rearrange and contingency plans, what about a bit of humour? Because that's usually what you get listening to these two try and come up with answers to Beat the Pundit. 0141 951 1025 if you want to play, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You just knew we hadn't heard the last of the pitch discussion about Dens Park. It is rumbling on. The phone lines are red hot, as they have been all week. So if you want to keep going on it, you are more than welcome. There was another VAR stushy last night, and it, as Mark Wilson alluded to, it's gone a bit under the radar, it feels, because of the pitch stuff, but it's a hugely significant story. So if you've got any thoughts there, maybe you just want to do that old fashioned thing and talk about the actual football. I must warn you, Gordon DL is getting increasingly distracted by the Masters being on the TV, but that might play into your hands as we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. I can't believe it. Years and years in the making, we've eventually found someone who is sticking up for you.
On Twitter,
Sarah Stephen says she's sitting with her Auntie Anne. Hi, Auntie Anne.
Yeah, Auntie Anne.
And apparently I pick on the Dazzler when it comes to Beat the Pundit, because he's had more turns and I never show the coin toss.
I think Sarah's got great points there, and I'll tell you, people are starting to question you.
Think so?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people meet me in the street now. I know, not well liked now.
We've all got our theories, but logistically speaking, I know the powers that be at Clyde One HQ spent great money on this fancy new studio. I'm sure they did. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a camera that would pick up the coin.
Coin cam.
We could try, right? I'll try my best. But
let me toss it now.
You're on here twice a week. It is inevitable you will play more than other people. I don't know what.
Look,
sorry
to
Auntie Anne.
I don't mind Auntie Anne. I'm quite happy.
What's the form like at the moment?
I'm a team player.
What's the form like? Remind me.
It's very, very, very,
ooh,
very
57%.
Very, very
win rate.
Poor.
That is grim.
Yeah, it's grim. But I'll tell you what, from playing the night, Mark, fireworks.
Right, anyway, let's bring in
fireworks.
Alex, who is on the line. Alex, I think you might be one of the first, or certainly one of the first, Stirling Albion fans we've had. How's it going?
Aye, no bad, lad.
Big game against Kelty this weekend.
Well, squeaky bum time.
Oh, 3 points above the relegation playoffs. Are you going to do it? Are you going to get survival?
Well, plan is finish eighth. I'll be happy.
Sounds like a plan.
Who's your favourite Stirling Albion player? Please say Jack Leach. If you're going to remain on the phone line, say Jack Leach.
You don't have to. There's just a family connection there, Alex.
The fact that he hasn't said it automatically means it's definitely, isn't
it? It can be anybody else. Dale Carrick's good, isn't he? We like him. He scores a lot of goals. Are we happy with that?
I quite like Blair Curry, goalkeeper.
Who's favourite player's the goalie, Alex? Come on.
It's not that goalie that my goalie lobbed when I played Stirling Albion for Brechin a few years ago.
It might be.
Well, anyway, he saved a penalty to Tavernier at Ibrox, didn't he?
So he did.
Oh, he did.
Well, anyway, let's toss the coin and find out who's going to play tonight. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Yeah. Tails, it's Gordon DL. I'll try my best for the camera. Can you see that?
Oh, that's a
Get
tail.
Zoomed in on that. Come on, Auntie Anne. What are you thinking?
Auntie Anne's right.
I've dropped it now, but that's Mark Wilson can confirm.
Two tail coin.
Mark Wilson,
yes, Anne.
I was a heads all day long.
Poor camera work there. I dropped it just at the last.
I'll get
moment.
That. Don't you
there
worry. When you're off,
where is it? Actually, it's away.
That 50's in my pocket.
I reckon I could do it again, and it would still be
Alex.
Alex, all the very best, Alex.
There's another one.
It's a tail.
Another
again.
Tails. Come on, camera. Where are you?
Yeah, but Do you know he knows, right, how many times do you toss that coin? Seven times a week, right? Five times a week. You know how many flicks you need to land that table.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll guarantee you do. I'll tell you what, I'm not confident in you. You could toss that again. I'll be... Oh, see, it's a higher one. Right, what is it?
Heads.
See, head. I was higher that time. Go low. So go low.
You think I know how to manipulate
go low.
A
go
coin?
Low. Don't go too I'm high. Go low. Go low. Watch this. Here's a big tail. Low.
Toss differently, will you?
Right. There you go, air tails.
It's another heads.
Oh, it's a head. That's, okay. That's an argument. Dead in the water.
Just when you think you've heard every stupid conspiracy theory going in Scottish football.
Right, come on, Alec and Stirling, let's go. Right. There's a ball waiting for you.
30 seconds, let's give Gordon, something else to listen to. Alex, you've got 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know. You ready?
Right, no problem.
Your time starts now. Who's got more Wales caps, Tom Lawrence or Robbie Matondo?
Tom Lawrence.
Greg Taylor joined Celtic from which Scottish club?
Kilmarnock.
In what year did a team out with the Old Firm last win the League Cup?
Pass.
Name either team who won a Champions League game last night.
Barcelona.
Who wears the number 7 for Celtic?
Neither.
What was the score the last time Dundee played Rangers?
5-0.
What team has scored the most goals in the Scottish Championship this season?
Dundee Knight.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
I'm back.
Good. Same set of questions.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts. Who's got more Wales caps, Tom Lawrence or Robbie Matondo?
Tom Lawrence.
Greg Taylor joined Celtic from which other Scottish
club? Kilmarnock.
In what year did a team out with the Old Firm last win the League Cup?
2016.
Name either team who won a Champions League game last night.
Atletico Madrid.
Who wears number 7 for Celtic?
Pass.
What was the score the last time Dundee played Rangers?
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that. 5-0.
What do you think, Alex?
I think maybe he's just picked me.
Who's got more Wales caps, Tom Lawrence or Robbie Matondo? Tom Lawrence. Both got it.
Oh, gosh, old Malik didn't get that.
Greg Taylor joined Celtic from which other Scottish club? I noticed Joey Barton's been keeping an eye on Greg Taylor's career in recent times. So it was Kilmarnock. You both got it 2-2.
Oh, I don't like this.
The team out with the Old Firm. What year the team out with the Old Firm last won the League Cup? 2021. St Johnston beat Livingston.
Oh my goodness. Did
None
Alec
of you
get
got
that?
It? No.
Good, Alec.
I was panicking for you here, I have to say, because you took so long. I was worried for you, Gordon DL, but you eventually dug it out. Barcelona or Atletico Madrid?
I get it.
Yes, you both got it, so we're level.
3 each.
Who wears the number 7 for Celtic? It is Luis Palma. None of you got it. The score the last time Dundee played Rangers was 3-1 to Rangers, Tavernier,
well done,
Dessers,
it was 5-0.
And Bakayoko.
A Dens you were talking about.
I didn't say that.
Oh, hold on a minute.
He's fell for that.
Hold on a minute.
We got you there.
The way you spoke there, I'm thinking Dens.
I knew that was
3-1.
He's saying you thought the same.
Alex thought the same, but still got it wrong, so it's fine.
Right, okay. It's so, a tiebreaker, isn't it?
No, Alex got one more question.
Oh.
What's the question?
What team scored the most goals in the Championship?
Dundee United.
Alex got it.
Yes.
Why do you read the questions out so slow?
I knew you were going to say that. So I'll make a deal with you. Right.
Right. Because you are guilty.
I don't do it deliberately. It's just, you know, sometimes the way it feels. Right. But I knew you were going to say that. And I'll make a deal with you.
Right.
Alex has won the sign ball. Okay.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Let me finish. Right. The sign ball is on its way to Stirling.
Right.
As we speak. Okay. Alex has won it. For your record this season, and I don't know why I do this, I never take pity on you. I'll give you the tiebreaker, right? To see if you can save your record a little bit. All right?
I know the tiebreaker must be a get the 8 second.
I've genuinely not looked at it yet, but
right. Okay. So for Alex.
Yep. So Alex has won the sign ball.
Okay.
But right. we'll give you the chance on the tiebreaker. Let's do it. Okay. How many yellow cards have been given in the Premiership this season? Now apparently it's as of the 3rd of April, so they've clearly not updated it last week. How many yellow cards have been given in the SPFL Premiership this season? Write it down quickly, Gordon. Alex, give me your attempt.
About 120.
Oh, Alex! 120.
Many was it?
713. Oh, Gordon Biel.
Right in the button.
He got it. 562.
Oh, he doesn't get the ball then.
No, he does.
Did I get a victory?
You get a victory for your record.
Because if you'd have read out the questions quicker, I would have went to tiebreak.
The reason is you've all started to get under my skin. But the reason I do it, I want to assure you, it genuinely isn't deliberate. It's just sometimes. And I have to admit, I did just squeeze it in with Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's, you dilly-dallied a bit too much, so are we all happy? We'll shake hands and move on.
Look.
It's like a half at the golf, you just...
It's Easter holidays and I'm the master. I'm quite chilled. I'm okay.
You weren't chilled when you arrived here. Oh, no. 2 minutes to five. I've never seen a guy sweating like you, face white. 2 minutes to six, should I say, yeah.
Thanks to Alex anyway. Well done, Alex.
Aye, cheers lads. I'm just watching YouTube and I've seen Gordon's face.
Are you okay, Alex?
I know, it's quite worrying, isn't it?
Look how white his hair is.
What do you think, Alex?
Those lights quite, do nothing
quite,
for
quite
me.
Quite a good-looking mature man in your books. What side do you want me to look at?
Don't call it.
Aye, okay, thank you.
No, just say it was a good game, like, no one.
Okay, Alex, get you on you go.
Alex wants to stay.
He's analysing the performance.
Anyway, thank you to
you
Alex.
You got a third mic in there.
If anyone wants to see Gordon Biel's alarmingly white hair, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. See when he does this. Curious creatures. He's written some poetry about you. And you know I'll lean into innuendo as much as the next guy.
You're bad.
I'm just not sure.
We'll be the judge. Read it
out. I don't think so.
We've got a delay.
No.
Has he given me a bit of criticism?
Absolutely, yep.
See if I find out who that is, I'll be after him.
It's sort of about, it's about you. It's about the, I don't know,
what?
Like the moisture levels of the Dens Park pitch. And I'd really rather not, honestly. Curious. I like your work, and people can head over to Twitter by all means to read it.
I'm not on Twitter.
I'm just not sure.
We'll get it at the break. How's that?
I'm just not sure.
What do you think, Matt?
He's usually, okay. Read it.
Nah.
Do you know this creature?
It's like about the effect. Yeah.
Do you know this creature?
Do I know this creature? I do know the creature.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is he big or wee?
He's about your size.
I'm after him.
Yeah. Anyway, we move on. We do. We move on.
I don't think he likes being called that.
Back to the phones. If you so wish, you can talk about the pitch. You can talk about something else entirely. We are here for you. 01419511025. Paul is in the West End. How are you, Paul?
I'm not too bad, thanks.
What have you got for us tonight?
It's. I want to speak about VAR, right? So near, but so VAR. It's just the fact that nobody's said up here about the VAR that we've got. It's VAR light that we have up here, a version of VAR, right? It's a cheap version, the cheapo version. Only has something like 4, 5, 6 maximum extra cameras.
6 minimum it is.
Is it 6 minimum cameras? Right, it's the cheapo version. It's the Lidl version of VAR.
Other supermarkets are available. Nothing wrong with it.
Brands apply, but it is right. You get what you pay for, right? And we've got to get a grip of this because who's reffing the matches? At the Tynecastle game, Don Robertson was reffing it. He's saying to the players, he's got his hand to the earpiece, and he's saying to the players, "It's not up to me," right? The thing was in the name, it's a video assisting referee. Mm-hmm. It's not, so why is it not up to the referee? For instance, Beaton on Sunday. What was it Beaton seen that VAR never? And what is it they seen that he never? You know? Yeah. It's a complete scandal and it's a joke. And you put one guy in a VAR room, it could be in the west of Scotland, it could be corrupt. You put two guys in a VAR room, it could be corrupt. Three or more, it's a lot harder, you know, and you're getting what you pay for. It's they're making mistakes all
see,
over
on
the place.
I wonder, in isolation, Paul, I feel like people might agree, I think for accuracy, let's clear up the accuracy bit first. So we've got a minimum of six cameras. That rises when it's a television game. FIFA, because you don't get to just style this out on your own. You know, your VAR needs to be FIFA approved, FIFA tested, FIFA assessed. They actually do allow you to operate VAR with four cameras, right? They do. We have a minimum of six. It goes up. So do we pay as much for it as the English Premier League? Obviously not. Do we pay as much for it as Bundesliga? Obviously not. Is it the absolute cheapest we could have gone for? No. Like, factually, there were cheaper options available. We didn't go for the cheapest. That's not to say we couldn't spend more, because, well, like I say, that's obvious. In England, they're going to spend more. So that's like the accuracy bit. In terms of, I wonder if we're conflating two issues though, Paul, because see, Tynecastle, what's that got to do with the money spent versus just bad judgment calls that you might disagree with?
Well,
it's not like the price of the technology didn't. That's not happened at Tynecastle, is it? There were calls made that you disagree with.
I mean, if you look at the VAR officials and the sidekicks, I mean, some of these guys have officiated in games like Stranraer games, Scottish League Division 2 games and stuff like that. How have they not got a team in there looking at every angle, silver bangle, to see what is going on and get these calls, get them right and call them right? You know, why is it we have to stop the game for 20 minutes at a time and rely on a couple of guys in a room somewhere making a decision that could change the league? You know, you're going to get the paper next year, and it's not going to be the ten games that won the league. It's going to be the 10 games that VAR lost you the league, you know?
Yeah, I'm a bit confused about what the specific criticism is, Mark. As an example, you know, this notion that it would be quicker if there was a team of guys, I mean, that to me would sound
more confusing, a bit chaotic. More voices.
I'm trying to think. Generally, the structure's the same. I think for the bigger games and bigger competitions with more cameras, there might be... Are there two assistant VARs or two replay operators, something like that? I think the number can fluctuate an absolute touch. But again, biggest leagues in the world, biggest competitions, our VAR has to stay actually quite close to that. Yeah. I know it feels like we're... and I still think there are valid criticisms in there. We hate how long it takes, you know, and do we always have enough camera angles to cover it? I think they're all valid, but... I don't know, scattergun was out a little bit.
We all hate how long it takes, but that's not unique to our country. I think, did I just read today that the Premier League in England have agreed to automatic offsides, which will save something like it'll take less time to come to. That's great, that's a step forward. However, they have the finances to back that. I dare say that we won't.
Incredible they actually don't even have that at the moment.
Well,
when you think about
it, you would
the money.
Just think it would be an automatic installation for them right
away.
I think
it's an absolute fortune, though.
So we won't have that anytime soon. So what we're left with is what we've got at the minute. There's an argument going about just now that clubs shouldn't invest in it and it should be taken away. So, you know, the clubs are paying a lot for the six cameras, and we've been in Clydesdale House. We've seen how tight an area it is. So you kind of have teams of people in there. You've got the correct amount of VAR in there and assistance if need be. But I don't think adding more voices would help the situation. It comes down to what VAR sees, how they communicate that to the referee. But when the referee goes over, it's still the referee on the pitch's decision. Nobody else's.
Would adding more voices in there not confuse things a lot more? And obviously so delay things a lot more.
You're supposed to then vote on...
And then you've got into the delays anyway, where we're negative.
I wonder if we're going to bring this a bit more specific to sort of what's going on in the last couple of days, because everybody's complained about VAR since the day it got invented and will continue to. Aberdeen have hit out. They feel like the current version, much like Paul, is unfit for purpose. After they revealed that the technology failed at Livy on Saturday, and they say officials effectively guessed that a player was offside. They say they can no longer support the system. It doesn't reach the required standard. Scottish FA replied, admitting that the calibration had temporarily failed. So they didn't have the lines at the time. So an assessment was made based on the image that the player was offside, and they've retrospectively been able to analyse it and are confident that the right decision was made. So they're confident it was offside, but how did they arrive at that? And you can understand why this is not going down well at all.
Yeah, I can understand that. Now, I can understand that sometimes things go wrong with technology. But on that case, Gordon, my point of view of it is quite simple. If that is the case and it's went down, they've not got the right information there to make the correct decision at the time, surely you go with the on-field the officials. And if you look at the assistant referee on the far side, he runs it to the halfway line. So he's looking right across it. He sees it. He doesn't think it's offside. He runs to the halfway line. So in my opinion, if I'm Aberdeen, involved in anything to do with Aberdeen, I would be feeling hard done to. If that technology's went down, surely the on-field officials, you go with them.
And I think if everyone agreed on that at the start, Mark, and you know, everybody knew what they were doing.
That's the point.
I know it's surprising, right? But believe it or not, I thought that this would happen earlier. We've not really had many technological failures like this in VAR since it came in. So it's kind of caught everyone a bit. The, you know, if everyone was aware of that, well, fine, and we'll all accept it, and you go with the on-field decision. I suppose just to state the obvious, if you're Livy, and you say, well, okay, but you, so you still had the chance to take a look at it, and it's now been done retrospect. And look at that decision should have been offside.
Yeah, the argument, the technology's there. Why wouldn't you use
another
vision?
But you can't rely on
it
accurately if the lines aren't there.
Of course, and that is the big sticking point. There has to be protocols put in place now, from now on.
I do think Aberdeen, part of their argument is that the protocol is that
they should have stuck to that. Well, if that's the case, then they've got it wrong, and if all the clubs are aware that that's what happens. But yeah, the argument is, if you've got a camera angle that shows that the player was offside, you know, should you use it? And if you're Livy and it's proved that he was offside and the goal's given, then I mean it. People will go, oh, who cares? It's just Livy and it's Aberdeen. You imagine this is Celtic or Rangers.
Well, it was the day before. Imagine it happened on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So it would have been huge, the ramifications, the fallout from that.
Just to be really inward looking about it all, though, that maybe this has come to a nice point for us, because everybody out there on Twitter is saying this is a disgrace. You cannot judge offsides without the calibrated lines. Fine, that means stop sending me pictures on a Saturday afternoon of images that you believe to be offside or onside. There we can all agree and we can move on. Thank you to Paul. We will take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel and... No, it's just those two. I don't know why I've added a third person.
Gordon
and yourself.
Me.
And Gordon Duncan.
I don't care about me being here. It's you two, the stars of the show. So if you want to call these two, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So come on down, let us know what's on your mind. We're like, really like proper Super Scoreboard currency here, like VAR arguments, games being postponed, just like anger and frustration and rage, very little light-hearted stuff. Even the curious creature who sent me a poem about you, Gordon Dalziel, it's too X-rated for a family show. She's having a really tough night in that regard. And you're not even listening, you're too busy watching the golf.
Yeah.
Are you still getting paid for this? Because you're just...
She's actually dressed like a golfer tonight as well.
I do that, I'll do that Thursday to
Sunday.
Oh,
what a saddle. Sit with all your golf equipment on.
My golf shoes a lot.
You're like that PGA chairman.
If you're watching, the on is a bit too much.
You're watching the Super Bowl, you put
your helmet on.
You're stripping your big gloves, your big one, your finger.
That's not the same thing.
Is it not?
Do you know what I was thinking? Obviously, some of the greats of the game have been on the television there. And remember the three of us met Gary Player?
Oh, I love Gary.
I love Gary.
You couldn't stand him, let's be honest.
He was giving me the old bunker lesson.
I still can't stand him. He was the most irritating man I have ever...
This is a sporting legend that we're talking about here.
He was my hero. I watched Gary Player growing up and I loved him. But never meet your heroes, because He is
he
the
was
most
perfectly friendly.
He was lovely. He was lovely. He was jealous because he had quite a big falling that day, didn't he? He was playing the course, and
he slaughtered him.
I liked him.
By the way, Gary Player, I can't believe I'm saying this. We were actually trying to sneak away from Gary Player. That showed you how annoying Gary Player was. He must have been looking at us going.
He did seem to want to talk to us for a surprising amount of time. Who knew he was a big Beat the Pundit fan?
My goodness, man. He done my head in, as they say in Glasgow.
And he's not helped my bunker play one bit. I'm sure he's. I think every bunker straight in the match. And I end up still in there. By the way, so he is useless.
No, the worst it was me was struggling in the bunkers that day.
I'm sure he's bothered what you think when he's over there. At Augusta.
And he was even telling me, I do 500 sit-ups. He's doing that with his neck. And I'm going, Gary, you've not even moved your belly button once, mate. You know what I mean?
Listen, if you're in the shape that he's in at his age, you'll be doing well.
Oh, look, I would honestly admire sportingly everything that guy has achieved in his life. I would never say a bad. But he's the most annoying guy in the world. If I'll pick one guy I don't ever want to see again, it's wee Gaza.
Player. It was when he started uninvited telling us how great Donald Trump was.
This is a weird conversation.
Do you know something, right? Just quickly, Gordon. The following week, I went to Tunbury, and I'm sitting in Tunbury ready to play, and I look down at the first tee.
Player there?
Who do you think's doing the exact same thing as he done with odds? Gary again, right?
You've got a really good in for this guy.
Oh, I know. Honestly.
Stop it. Stop
and then he
so
pulls out a chair yesterday and he stands, I did my head in.
Anyway, enough about that breakdown that Gordon Dale seems to be having. We're going to speak to Craig.
Guys,
Craig, I didn't see it going that far.
Let me speak to Craig in just a second. Let me give you this question first.
The Full Time Teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Okay, thanks to Kristen and Renfrew for sending it in. Since 1970, 10 players have been capped for Scotland whilst at Liverpool. 10 players capped for Scotland whilst at Liverpool since 1970. Who are they?
Soonest, Dalglish, Nicol.
Whoa, slow down.
Soonest, John Wark.
Right, that's enough. We'll leave it there because
this is just right up his street because he always bangs on how he's played against some of these.
You're sort of spoiling
Alan Hansen.
You're spoiling it. Can you just stop giving us answers right now, please?
go for a clean sweep.
No.
Go the full 10.
They are all correct.
Oh, of course, sir.
So we'll try and get the other. I'm not accepting any. That's wrong. There is you it? Are. That serves you right.
Okay.
Leave it there. Thank you to Kristen for sending it in full time at Clyde1.com. Craig.
Gary McAllister.
Not telling you. And no again. There you are. Not as smart as you think.
Yes.
No, he's not. Not captain for Scotland whilst at Liverpool.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
Craig and Johnson, take it away.
Hi, guys. How you all doing?
Good. You?
I know bad. Hitting him up.
Oh, are you going to tell us where?
No, I am not. Because I work with a good few Rangers fans that think my theory is wrong.
Right, so, okay. What's the theory?
The way I heard you were thought of phone because I was listening and you were talking about VAR and how to fix the situation. For me, as a guy that's maybe played a wee bit of football now and then and watching football being frustrated at VAR, why can we not make it the same as tennis where you get 3 calls a game and only your captain or manager can be able to make that decision to go to the VAR system, and that cuts out any dubious or any like hullabaloo about cheating and everything else, where you can only make that call, and if it you fail to miss it, like if Celtic failed to miss the golden handball at the weekend, it's their own fault.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to hear any suggestions. I think what we just acknowledge first of all is that, again, you know, that's such a departure from how VAR works. I don't think we in the Scottish Premiership can just go, tell you what we'll do. We'll do a 3 challenge rule like they do in tennis. The world would have to do that. You know, that's how VAR would have to work. But that's not to say it's a bad suggestion. Would that be a better way of...
I remember coming up with this idea.
You came up with it?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, a while ago on the show, we were in the other studio before VAR was here. And I said the Hawkeye system would be good that you get some challenges. I'm talking a while ago. So look it up, producers. So I like it. However, you're left with the same problem. So you call say Celtic not happy with that, the penalty, you call it, no, you're still left with the officials that have to go over and look at the monitor and they judge. You don't get to referee the game, remember?
Yeah, but I think, Craig, are you meaning more than from a disruption point on the game? Like, you know, it would be lessened.
Yeah, because everything is getting... Every offside, like, do say it's close, is getting stopped. It's stopping the flow of the players as well. You have to remember this. It's stopping the flow of the game completely, and it's making players stand about for at least 2-3 minutes a game when it shouldn't have to be. It's totally disrupting a flow of a game of football. Now, I've seen Celtic and Phil flow at Parkhead, and then as soon as a VAR check goes on, it's on for like 3-4 minutes, the flow is completely disrupted for a good 5 to 10 minutes before they're back up to speed again.
Yeah.
And at Parkhead, it's been like, you've seen it yourself, probably under Brendan Rodgers, where it's slow build-up. But I'm talking, if you go back to the Ange Postecoglou era, where it was fast and quick play, it just seems that even when it happened then, it slowed down Celtic significantly. I can't say that word.
Significantly. We nearly got there. Well, look, I get it. And Craig's not alone. I've heard some very higher profile football men than Mark Wilson put the same suggestion as well. But do we need to be honest with ourselves? The very first time after this is brought in, where you've used your three challenges and then your centre forward gets decapitated as he's running through on goal, the referee misses it, and everybody says, I cannot believe we have got this technology here and we're not using it to fix these errors. I wonder if there's a sort of existential thing with VAR, that are we just striving for a sort of level of perfection that just doesn't exist?
Yeah, I think what we've got to do is try and improve the VAR situation. It's here to stay.
That's Craig saying that would improve it, though. Would it for you?
No, because I think you make good calls there. You could get to a case where you're out of objections and you're not allowed anymore.
And Craig, to be fair, is saying, yep, but at that point, everybody knows that you just accept it.
You've just got to accept it.
But would they, Mark? That's the point. Because all we're doing here, it feels like all we're doing is moving the goalpost.
Shifting it somewhere else.
Everybody said that we would accept the decisions with VAR because at least they've had another look at it.
Yeah. But at least your own side could be culpable. So I'm thinking, if you've used a call on a slightly dubious thing and it's went against you because it's proven it's the referee was right to miss it, and then you miss a big call yourself, surely fans... or a portion of fans would point the finger.
And then
becomes a problem for the manager and the coaching team. They've got nothing on their plate to think about putting the team out in the pitch, tactics, substitutions, rather than
the sides or whatever. But I just, it feels
he's got nothing on his plate
What happens if he goes too early and the manager's not happy with the captain? I think we just don't make any worms in this. Look, I'm all for suggestions, but I don't think that one will ever work.
It would have to be down to an analysis team. So you'd have to appoint your own analysis team in the stand who would then communicate with you, by the way, use one of your challenges here because we've seen this back.
And the captain can wear an earpiece and he can tell the referee.
Throwing things at his radio.
No
right
wonder.
Now,
I'm ready to.
Craig, thank you. It's as good a suggestion as any, because clearly the current picture is not satisfying anyone around the world by the looks of it. What about Derek on the line? Derek, what do you think?
Evening, guys. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm unfortunately going to add more fuel to the fire.
Go for it.
I think you kind of summed it up, though. I think we're all looking for something that doesn't exist here. I think when VAR was spoke about coming in, we were sold a bit of a dream that, oh, this is going to be great, it's going to do it. But I'm a big NFL fan. I follow New York Giants. And if you watch an NFL game, it's a bit like rugby, obviously, a stop-start. There's more officials in those games, more cameras, more time to review this. And more often than not, the decision still comes down to you on the field. You can have something that these guys will see. And like the last guy said about waving a flag or whatever. They've got challenges that they can do it right, but you can still have all these cameras, all these angles, all these officials, and it'll still come down to the on-field decision, because sometimes the cameras just don't show you. And then at the end of the day, it's still coming down, no matter how many cameras you've got, whether there's a team, an individual, an analysis squad, whatever you want, it's still coming down to somebody's decision. It's never... And that's, I think, we've been sold some here that doesn't have a solution. We can definitely make it better, but we could still be sitting in this conversation. I would rather we spent money making sure that the refs were full-time, that we made sure that all the pitches are playable. I know it's a bit of a contentious thing, but we're asking for VAR here. And as you said, I think we're looking for some that just doesn't exist.
That does strike me, Mark, as being the most boring answer, but kind of the most realistic. I sometimes wonder when I say this, I get the impression people think I'm trying to say, oh, there you are, well, you know, it's not our officials' fault and we can't do anything better, which is far from the truth. What I mean is, if the richest leagues in the world are having these discussions, you know, I'll sometimes listen to, Gary Lineker, Micah Richards, what's it, the football podcast the rest is football. That they do. Obviously, listen to this podcast first if you can before going elsewhere. And they genuinely, the other day was, you know, is it time to get rid of VAR? You know, if the richest leagues in the world are kind of going through the same thing, who are we kidding that we can just tweak this or tweak that and it gets to that point? Are we ever going to be satisfied? Are we ever going to be even close to satisfied if they're not?
No, it's the answer. No.
So should world football just rip it up then?
No. Because VAR is to help the referee, the official, get to the right decision as best it can. And that's what it is. But Derek's right in what I said 2 minutes ago. It's always coming down to the referee. Offsides are the only thing that can be disputed, where the English Premier League are putting that automated system.
I'll be honest, if the world of football decides to rip it up, I'm voting with them.
Yeah, I mean, you won't get a vote, but you think we have been missold to a point. I think as sort of fans or pundit, I think we need to take a touch of the blame, in the sense that we should have known better. We should have known that it was never going to fix it. But were we missold in the idea about re-refereeing, clearing obvious errors? I mean, I was never that convinced on that side of it, because you might think something's clear and obvious. I don't. But is it becoming more apparent as time goes on that there is much more of a re-refereeing element than you thought?
I always look at it and think, right, the greatest people always say football's a simple game. Has it brought more confusion into our game? Has it brought more excitement? I would probably say no, because I think that wastes it for supporters. I think it wastes it for players celebrating goals. You look at, and I know that the argument, well, it came to the right decision. You look at Dessers, for instance, the celebration. He must have thought, this is me, I've arrived at Rangers, I've scored that goal. A minute, 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, whatever later it's taken away, and people say, well, it's the right decision. But there's a lot of things there, even when it goes to the right decision, you've lost that moment.
Do you find your NFL leanings, Derek, make you a bit more? Are you a bit more understanding? Are you phoning to say you would bin it completely, or are you taking this stuff all on the chin?
I mean, I'm a Rangers fan, and on Sunday when Dessers' goal was disallowed, I was in a mixed group, and I thought, you know what? He's maybe fouled him there. But like after it, I heard all these rules about, oh, they shouldn't have been back to that phase. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'm like, at the end of the day, it's just daft. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think there is an easy answer. I think the SPFL are never going to spend anywhere near as much money as are in England and as much money as are in all these other countries, and they're still getting it wrong. So it's like, what do we expect? Do you know what I mean?
I think the difficulty as well is the way the scattergun will come out, because the story is actually, what happens when the technology fails? It's inevitable. It's happened in England. It's happened in the big competition. It's now happened here.
They switched on for one of the games down south.
Yeah. What happens? Was the right protocol followed? And what do we do to make sure that doesn't happen again? Aberdeen have got a very specific complaint. Aberdeen have actually never said that they think the wrong decision was reached. It was just the way that it came about. But, and I don't blame Derek or the other callers for this. That's what we're here for. But that then becomes, okay, well, should we introduce a tennis-based system, and you know, look at NFL. When when we've got specific issues to iron out, it's very hard to separate them from this big picture of, is this any use? Is it making football less enjoyable? However, I'm extremely late for this break, so we'll breathe and we'll be right back.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Very quick show tonight, it has to be said. Thank you for all the company. We're on the home straight, and Mark and Gordon have got a bit of work to do on the question sent in by Kristen and Renfrew. So we were looking for, since 1970, 10 players who've been capped for Scotland whilst at Liverpool. Right up Gordon DL's street, this. Dalglish, Souness, Stevie Nicol, Alan Hansen, John Wark.
Go on, you get one out.
Andy Robertson.
Nice easy one, yes.
Okay. Don Hutchison?
No.
Okay. What about Mateo?
Dominic Mateo?
No.
No. Mateo, no.
Mateo? Oh, right.
I don't know.
Gary Gillespie?
Yes.
Good shout, that. Well done.
Three. Right. Go. Here's two left field, right? But I'm just throwing them in there. Did Frank McGarvey get capped when he...
Yes, Frank McGarvey, well done. Okay, we'll leave it there because you've only got what two to get. This. There we go, brilliant, well done. I've got a bit of bad news for you. I would always like to end the show...
For Mark and me.
Bad news?
All of us.
All of us, okay.
It was a collective you.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news for you.
We're not on tonight now.
It's not specific to you two, I just told you that.
That's for the viewers.
Annie's Land, I would like to thank on Twitter for keeping me, or reminding me that this was a thing tonight. What if I told you that Victoria Pilsen drew 0-0 with Fiorentina?
Oh, to make any difference to you? Points, yeah, that would mean we're out of the automatic Champions League place, is it?
It does.
Oh,
if Victoria
right.
Pilsen got as much as a draw against Fiorentina over the two legs, Scotland would be hopped by the Czech Republic in the coefficient and lose our Champions League place for the season after next. So right, this is locked in. So the winner of the Premiership right now, in a couple of weeks, they'll be automatically in the Champions League next season. But after that, we've lost our automatic Champions League place. The Czech Republic, as if ruining our Euros wasn't enough, yeah. They've gone and done that to us. Whoa. In Fiorentina. I told you, I had a fake Fiorentina strip when I was 10, and this is how they repay me. Being unable to even go and
Beatovic on the
See, everybody had Batistuta or Rui Costa, and I somehow ended up with Mijatovic. I don't know why.
And a wee rectangle box. That's how you knew them.
No
fake.
Idea.
I had a Brazil one, Romario.
So I went to Florence, and you know where you just don't care. I had that, and at the same trip got a Edgar Davids Juventus one. Why not?
Another fake one.
Aye.
You still got them?
No, obviously. I was 10 years of age.
All right.
And they were fake, so.
But bad news. It really is bad news. These things just kind of float by me a lot of the time. But it's when you really think about it, how, you know, those qualifiers affect the team trying to get into Champions League. Very unsuccessful over the years in those qualifiers, particularly Celtic, of course. But it just makes such a difference, the excitement of having one of your teams in there right away, and it's gone next season, so. Yeah, clubs must do better in Europe when they get there. That's all clubs.
Ah, see, a real down note to end the show.
Motherwell a couple of seasons ago getting put out early doors, didn't it?
Come on, let's get an upbeat.
They were just one of many.
Kilmarnock and St Johnstone. Nothing to do with Celtic.
Funny that you've been quite selective in your criticism there.
Rangers not getting to the last 16 again.
That's been noted. People will phone in about that as if they're not.
Rangers need to do better, by the way, in Europe, because look what they've cost us.
Did you hear that, Mark Wilson, on Super Scoreboard last night? Anyway, you happy with this, Gordon, that we're nearly there and you can get up the road to watch the golf?
Yeah, 4 days of absolute pleasure. I love
the golf.
What about the golf?
Well, at the golf in between, I've got to say, it's a highlight of my year.
Is
the Masters.
It recliner. Popcorn, we just heard he's right into popcorn just now.
Popcorn.
A big bag of popcorn.
Sunday's a nice, I'm doing Shuggy Keevens, I'm doing a nice glass of red and
popcorn.
Just like bringing in the bells, it's just the end of the Masters, have a glass of red to celebrate.
Good on you. Right, let's finish off this teaser then. Since 1970, 10 players have played for Liverpool. They've been capped by Scotland whilst at Liverpool. Kenny Dalglish, Graham Souness, big names in here. Alan Hansen, Stephen Nicol, Gary Gillespie, John Wark, Frank McGarvey, and Andy Robertson.
I'm stuck.
Here's one I think I'm wrong. Danny Wilson?
Yes.
What a shout.
I should have got that. That was my idea.
What a shout from the Dazzler.
Well
done.
Take a
bow, young man. Have we got one more?
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not going
to. Ramsey?
Who's Ramsey?
Ramsey, who's Ramsey?
Oh, who's the boy? Calvin Ramsey.
Oh, Calvin Ramsey. No, actually.
Is that out of the picture that he's been forgotten about?
Hold on, by the way.
You had me worried there.
I'm wondering if you've discovered
11th.
See if I have. I will dance out that door.
I think you've discovered.
After just being doubted.
A bonus one.
Well, it would be
well,
the
10th. The 10th.
Has he played for Liverpool's first team? Maybe yes. In the cup, has it?
Aye. He has.
He's got one Scotland cap.
Yes, there he's all. Sure. Who's Ramsey? Calvin Ramsey, that's who it is.
But that's not the one we're looking for. Forget him for a second. Sorry, I'm Calvin.
Are we going far back?
It's quite an easy one, really.
I've got all the hard ones.
Played for Rangers.
Rangers and Liverpool.
And Blackpool.
Oh, Charlie Adam.
Charlie Adam. Here we are. Sorry to Calvin Ramsey for the oversight, if indeed there is one. I think he has played he has played in the EFL Cup, hasn't he?
That would count for me.
Anyway, thanks again to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out with the teaser. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? Even by Scottish football standards, it has been quite a week. Tomorrow, what will it bring? You'll find out. Hugh Keevans will be back, delighted and interested to know what he has had to make over the last couple of days. We'll speak to him tomorrow night from 6, and in the meantime, stay right there. Clyde One's got you covered for the rest of the night, and we are back tomorrow.